please, to turn with me to the book of Galatians. And I want to share with you a message that was laid on my heart, and I'm going to entitle it, "It's a Dangerous World." It's a dangerous world. Sometimes we get saved and we think that all is well, heaven is my home, but the world is still a dangerous place. In the book of Galatians, chapter 1, I'm just going to read verses 3 and 4. Paul is writing to this church, which is being impacted. Their faith is being impacted. And he says in verse 3, "Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins so that he might deliver us from this present evil world." So that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for the engrafted word that's able to save our souls. We thank you, Lord, that your hand is upon each one of us as your people. Your presence is in our life. You have revealed to some degree yourself to us, and we thank you for that. We'd ask you this morning, Lord, that you would bless the offering that we receive across the worship room this morning, across the online experience. Touch the lives of those who have made a decision to support the Word of God and the expansion of the kingdom. We ask it in Jesus' name. And Lord, I ask you that you would help me this morning to make a certain sound in the ears of your people. Lord, that no one leave from the sound of this voice this morning that doesn't understand the dangerous influence that the world can have on us. Father, we ask it all in Jesus' name, and we thank you for it. Amen and amen. We often think that, and it's of course it's right, but it's incomplete, we think that Jesus went to the cross to save us from hell. And that's right. But the cross does so much more than simply save us from hell. The cross is what ushered the Holy Spirit into our lives. The sin debt being laid aside, we have benefit of the Holy Spirit. But this scripture says that he gave himself for our sins as a sin sacrifice so that he might also deliver us from this present evil world. So the Holy Spirit inspired Paul to describe the entire world system as being evil. This present evil world. You know, when we look at the world now, it doesn't seem that bad. I mean, it's all prettied up. It's got beautiful colors. It presents very well. But once you get past the thin veneer of how it presents, the world is a very wicked, evil place. It has a dangerous influence even on us as Christians. And I might say as well, the younger you are, the more dangerous it is. It's hard to define what the world is. It's hard to just put your finger on what is the world. It's ambiguous. You can't give it a hard definition. This is the best definition. It was written in the 1880s by a man by the name of Brooke Westcott. It's the best definition I found thus far. He says the world is all that floating mass of thoughts, impulses, aims, and aspirations at any time current in the world, which it may be impossible to seize and accurately define, but which constitutes a most real and effective power, being the moral and immoral atmosphere which at every moment of our lives we inhale to inevitably exhale. Now, that's very wordy. It came from the 1800s, and so I'll break it down to you. Here's what it's really saying. The world is Hollywood. The world is sports. The world is Vegas. The world is Dubai. The world is the evening news. The world is our political system. The world is social media. Any place that you see masses of people moving together, the Bible calls it the wide gate that leads to destruction, but that's the world. And whenever we move with large masses of people in that direction, it means you are in the world. Even though you may be saved, you may be born again, you're moving with the world system, the course of this world, and it puts you in a very dangerous position. Now, Jesus said, he said, we're in the world, but we're not to be of the world. We're to separate ourselves from the influences of the world. Now, in John, he also describes, 1 John chapter 5, verse 19, he also describes the world in this way. He says, we know that we are of God. We know we're saved, if in fact you are saved. And let me just say, just because you're in church doesn't mean you're saved. You have got to know what the blood did to your life. If you can say, thank God for the blood, you know what it did to your life, then you're saved. But he says, we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies in wickedness. In other words, he's not saying there's just a bad influence somewhere in the world. He's saying all of it is corrupt. All of it is corrupt. And it focuses, again, the younger you are, the more you are a prey to the world system. And even as you get older, even as you get my age or older, the world still presents a deadly influence. If you will remember when Lot was in the city called Sodom, he sat in the gate of the city. He was one of the officials. Sodom was overtaken with homosexuality. And the scripture says concerning Sodom, they vexed his righteous soul from day to day. Meaning that even though he might have been righteous, all of this sin around him, it was influential. And the more you're exposed to it, the more it impacts you. If you look at just the impact of social media over the last several years, really since it came out, and you have now what is called influencers. And check them all out, that whatever influencer you may be influenced by, check them out, that their walk is immoral. It's contrary to the Bible, and they're influencing you in that direction. The world is a dangerous place. And as Christians, part of our sanctification is that we allow the Holy Spirit to begin to move us away from the world. Once you dig in and say, I like my thing, that's what backsliding is. It means you refuse to move forward with the Holy Spirit. But what he's doing is he's trying to move us away from the world and the things of the world. And he's very strong in the scripture concerning this. In Titus, he says this. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. He says, the grace of God that brings salvation, the same grace that brought salvation to your life, hath appeared to all men, teaching us. Now, I want you to get this. The grace of God is teaching us. The grace is not just to give you what you want. Grace is not just, hey, you're saved now. You're going to heaven. You're not going to hell. That's not all grace is for. The grace of God is teaching us that denying ungodliness. Let me break that down. Here's the easy way to define ungodliness. It's ungodlikeness. Ungodlikeness. Our job as sanctification is to conform us to the image of the Son of God, making us godlike or godly. And Titus says that the grace of God teaches us to deny ungodlikeness and, there it is, worldly lust. Now, when we think of worldly lust, we just think, immediately you think about sexual lust. And that's the thing. That's a problem. That's a huge problem. But lust is simply a strong, inordinate desire, a desire that's not necessarily of God, and they can be strong. How many know lust can be strong? You're chemically wired for lust. But you can also, have you ever gotten car fever? It's a strong desire that's over and above what a Christian should allow to impact their lives. If we lust for anything, it should be more of the Holy Spirit. We should have a strong desire for more of the Word of God. But when you look at Christianity and you look at Christians, many times there's not a strong desire for God, but there is a strong desire for other things. In other words, we're in relationship with God. Our hearts are supposed to be given to the Lord, but we're holding hands with someone else. Now, we've got married couples in here. How long would you be married? I'll use myself so that I don't put you on the spot. Me and Sister Lincoln, we've been together, I don't know, 40-something years. Since high school, we've been together. Well, I can't walk down the road holding hands with her, and back here, I'm holding hands with somebody else. And God is the same way. He's not going to have that. So he says, teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly. That means unintoxicated with the things of this world. You know, people get addicted to social media now. I mean, straight up addicted. As a matter of fact, here's my challenge to all of us. How long can you not look at your stream? How long can you not look at your account? How long can you not post? That's just between you and you. We should live soberly, righteously, and godlike, here it is, in this present world. Meaning that we are on this planet, the world is happening all around us, but that we should be sanctified, that is separate from the world system. Yet, even though it may vex us from day to day, we see everything that's happening, we should live separate from all of that. And it's very possible, saints. It's not like, you know, when you first start out, it's like, well, how could you do that? It's very possible. There's a good life outside of the world system. It looks like it's boring, but because you can't see until you're in it how wonderful it is. You know, when you looked at the tabernacle in the wilderness that God told Moses to build, it was covered on the outside with badger skins. Just a bunch of skins hanging over it. It didn't look attractive at all. Ah, but when you walked inside of it, it was laid out. Gold everywhere. But you can't see it from the outside in. It's not until you're in a life that's separate from the world that you begin to see the beauty, mainly the beauty of the fellowship with him that you can't have when you're connected to the world. Your walk is just intellectual at that point. Here's my life, and I don't make myself to be an example, but I've walked it for a little while, and I have to a very great degree separated myself from the world. It's just part of the natural sanctification. Just don't resist it. It will automatically happen to you. I don't even eat out anymore. I don't even go to restaurants anymore. I don't watch any TV. Okay, I'll maybe watch a little bit. If my wife has something on, I'll see, okay, what's up? Maybe a little bit of news. I prefer to read my news. I'd say 90% of my life is lived between this building and my home. I don't go other places. I don't go on vacations. My wife makes me go every now and again. But the whole time I'm telling her I want to go home. And you would think, well, that sounds so boring, Pastor Lincoln. No, it isn't. It's life abundant. It's abundant life because my fellowship is with him. During the week, I spend my time in the Word of God. I'm writing books or I'm studying. I'm trying to find out more about him. In fact, the scripture says, this is eternal life, that you might know him. That's what eternal life, and that you might know his son, Jesus Christ. But the world has this influence that draws our attention. It's a shining object that draws our attention. And little by little, we're pulled into it. Because it presents things to us that get our attention and get us looking. Oh, it's almost like Eve looking at the forbidden fruit. My, that looks wonderful. The grace of God appears to all men, and it teaches us to deny worldly lust and to live godly in this present world. John is a little bit stronger in his first epistle when he talks about the world. He's a little bit stronger, and he puts it this way. John chapter 2, verse 15. He's blunt. He's a fisherman. He's not an educated Paul. He just puts it, love not the world. There it is right there. And now you check yourself. What part of the world are you in love with? Where is your struggle with the world system? Is it social media? Or is it the NBA? Or is it your next trip to Dubai or the next trip to Vegas or wherever that you're tripping? Love not the world. Then he goes on to make it even harsher. Neither the things that are in the world. Meaning the individual things that we see large masses of people moving towards. That's the world. Wide is the gate that leads to destruction. Many there be that go thereat. When you see a lot of people, that's the world right there. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Because, here's why, because if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now let me explain what that means. As I said, Sister Lincoln and I, we've been together all our lives. I love her dearly. I tell her that I love her. She tells me she loves me. But if I'm walking holding hands with her and I'm also holding hands with somebody back here, do I really love her? And if we're holding hands with God, but we're also reaching back here holding hands with the world, is the love of the Father really in us? That's what John is saying. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Because, here's his reasoning, because all that is in the world, it's the lust of the flesh, or it's the lust of the eyes, or it's the pride of life. The lust of the flesh, we are the most sexualized people that have ever been on the planet. I mean, we are crazy with it. We've got, on a regular basis, we've got men with men, women with men. You know, it used to just be people, fornication. People having sex outside of marriage. It used to just be that. But now it's perverseness on top of that. Men with men, women with women. Three of this gender with two of that gender. It's just gotten completely crazy. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes. Everything you see on TV is purposely constructed the way it is to attract the attention of your eyes. Just go to Tom Thumb and walk past the cash register, and sure enough, the magazines are right there with the woman with just a bikini on or something to make you look at them. Even the colors of the products that are in the shelf, they're all red and yellow. Because that's what attracts our eyes better. It's called marketing, but God calls it the lust of the eyes. And then there's the pride of life. How that falls out in our lives is we drive cars we can't afford. We have cell phone plans that we can't afford it and probably don't even need it. We have phones two levels above what our paycheck can actually afford. That's why you're paying for it rather than you didn't buy it. That's good preaching. See, the reason you didn't buy it is you couldn't afford it, so you put it on a payment plan and paid interest on it. That's why you broke. The same thing with our cars. I'm just going to preach a little while. Is that all right? You bought the car, you're making payments on it because you couldn't afford that car. When I go to the car lot, I'm looking at the cars that I can write a check for. Ain't no more payments. I don't want no payments. Because the payments come with compound interest. And it just drains you and makes you poor. He warns John Worlds that, he warns that the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but it is of the world. There's a divide between the two. You know, we try to make our lust seem like this is the will of God for me. God wants me to have this. I know the car costs more than I'm supposed to have. But I'm believing God. Well, you believing God don't make God move. No. Just because you believe him, God does what God wants to do, and you have to align yourself with that. He don't change just because you say you have faith. We need to be taught that. And the world passes away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abides forever. Now, this is common. This has always been common because we come into this world as sinners. And we grow up to whatever age, and we're already addicted to some things that are in the world. We have strong propensity for things that are in the world. And then we get saved, and we're put into this situation that, oh, now this thing that I've learned to love, I have to let that thing go if I'm going to go on with God. That's the position. All of us get put into that in some area of our life. And that's what sanctification is. How willing are you to let go of what you have been in love with to hold on to this new love that you have for God? And many times our relationships are hampered because our desire for the world and the things in the world. My relationship with Sister Lincoln is not going to be very good if I'm holding on to somebody else's hand back here. And our relationship as Christians with God is not going to be very good if we're at the same time trying to hold on to the things of the world when God has said over and over, it is not of the Father, but of the world. Now, James, this is the half-brother of Jesus Christ. He's very, very strong when he preaches to his audience. In James chapter 4, verse 4, he's cutting no corners. He begins by saying, you adulterers and adulteresses. Now understand, it wasn't because the people were committing sexual adultery. It's because they were trying to be in relationship with God and be in relationship with something else. That's spiritual adultery. That's what Paul defines it in Romans chapter 7 as spiritual adultery. And so James comes out and he addresses the people as what they were spiritually, adulterers and adulteresses. He says, don't you know, or are you unaware, that friendship with the world is enmity with God? The word enmity means hostility. That if we remain friends with the world or the things of the world, it means that there's an enmity towards God. I don't love you enough to let go of this. Man, that is good preaching. I like this more than I want to move forward with you. Friendship with the world is enmity with God. Whosoever, therefore, based on that, will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. That's pretty tight, isn't it? Isn't that pretty tight? I don't know what that does for you. That motivates me to let go more and more of the world. And now, saints, don't make a laundry list. I got to stop this, stop that. Don't do that. Just cooperate with the Holy Spirit. He's the one doing it in you. Just cooperate with him. And in due season, as you mature, as your spiritual strength increases within you, little by little, he'll start taking things away from you. He's very gentle. He's very gentle. He's very kind. He doesn't rip anything out of your hands. He brings you to a place that you will within yourself, I don't want this anymore. And sometimes you need help letting it go. We're addictive. We're addictive people. I used to think it was just me that had an addictive personality. All of us have an addictive personality. But the Holy Spirit, little by little, he'll bring you to a place that it's time to let that go. And if you'll cooperate, it will fall off of you like a petal off a rose. It'll just fall away. That is a tight passage of Scripture. Therefore, whosoever therefore will be a friend of this world is the enemy of God. I do not want to be his enemy. I'd rather be an enemy of the world. I'd rather be an enemy of anyone else other than the Lord. I want him to forever be both my sovereign and my savior. That's what I want from God. I want him to be my master. Praise the name of the Lord. Ephesians chapter 2, Paul is speaking to the Ephesians. And when you read the book of Ephesians, there's really no criticism in Ephesians. Paul is not correcting or rebuking anything. They really got their act together. And he gives them a theology that raises them up in the book of Ephesians. But he reminds them, even in Ephesians, He says in chapter 2, verse 2, he says, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world. What that means is the same danger that you and I are exposed to was there for the Ephesians, and they were walking, being influenced by the world of that day. And it was hindering them from embracing fully in their relationship with Christ. In times past, he tells them, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. That's a description for the fallen angel Lucifer, whose name is now Satan. He's saying that in times past, they were following the course of this world and that it was being led by the prince of the power of the air. Okay, let me break that down. I've got just a couple minutes left. When we follow all of these things and we're influenced and we're coveting all of these influences that are impacting us, you have to know that you are following Satan. And in following that, it makes you an enemy of God. I know this is tight, ain't it? Because it's quiet in here. But I'm giving you, this is what the scripture says. You look it up. You run the definitions. I'm not twisting it in any way. Sometimes people can say, well, that man, that's a hard word. No, it isn't. You're weak. Amen. Yeah, no, you and I, we're weak. And it makes it seem like the word is hard, but you let him strengthen you with might by his spirit in the inner man of the heart. And all of a sudden you realize this is not hard. This is normal Christian living. Amen. This is normal Christianity. Among whom we also all had our conversation in times past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And we were actually by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Meaning that we're walking after the world is causing us to be a children of disobedience. The wrath of God is what's coming for us because we're living immoral lives. But then it says in verse 4, but God. Oh yeah, you was lost, I was lost, but God, who is rich in his mercy. And because of his love, his great love, wherewith he loved us, he raised us up together with Christ so that you and I now are in this process called sanctification. Stop fighting against him. Let him bring you out of the world. The things that you've been in love with, just let him. It's not hard if you don't resist, but it is hard for you to kick against the pricks. But if you just cooperate with the Holy Spirit, it's a process. It's easy. It's easy. You know, you might, well, in fact, this happened to me when I got saved. I had 99 problems. All of them was girlfriends. But as soon as I gave myself to God, they just fell away. And they fell away fast. It wasn't like 5 years. It just dissolved into nothing. And God moved everything back to make room for my wife, who I'm remarried to. And if we just cooperate with God, he'll fix the situation. Just let him be God. Let him be God. Amen. Would you bow your heads all over the room? Father, we love you today. We thank you, oh God, for sanctification. We thank you, firstly, for your son, Jesus Christ, that you gave your son, Lord, that we might be saved from this present evil world. That the things that addict us, the things that hold our attention, the things that our souls lust after, by the moving and the operation of your spirit, slowly those things begin to lose their hold. They begin to lose their shine. God, our focus is cast upon your beauty. We thank you today, Lord, for the process. Come on, all over the room, would you stand to your feet if you're able this morning? And just begin to tell God, just begin to ask him, Father, help us today. Lord, I want to come out of the world. I don't want to be in two relationships. I don't want to be holding your hand and yet holding on to the things of this world. I don't want to be an enemy of God. Teach me to walk with you, Lord, faithfully. Teach me to lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset and to live an honest, open relationship with you, in love with you, and in love with you alone. Come on, just reach out to the Lord. Ask him for help. He'll help you. He'll help you. We have not because we ask not. Just ask him to help you, God. The dangers of this world, Father, protect me. Help me to lay it aside. Help me to give it up. Come on, just reach out to the Lord.
Father, in our weakness, you are made strong. Father, give us the strength and the boldness to come boldly before your throne because of your shed blood through Jesus Christ, to just give you those things that we struggle with, that I struggle with, that we struggle with, Lord God. Sometimes it's hard for us to give it up, but Father, just teach us that your love is there for us when we do give you those things that we don't desire to do anymore. Our spirits are willing, Lord God. In those times, Lord God, where we fail, let us not be ashamed to just run back to you because you are a loving Father. In your grace and in your mercy, continue to teach us how you draw near to us so that we can continue to draw near to you. We thank you so much for your correction and your love. We thank you for the guidance that you give us. We thank you for your word this morning, and we bless your holy name in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor Lincoln gave us a good message this morning for us to be reminded of. We all struggle with stuff. Do not be ashamed to take that to the Lord. Whatever it is that you're dealing with, relationship, but it don't matter what it is. If it's a failure in our life, take it to him. Amen. Right now, there are no additional announcements other than given to the ministry. We do need your support. We thank those that have joined us by webcast. We thank you for your support to the ministry as well, too. Be blessed, and you are dismissed.